Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
We're looking at the story of Joseph this month, and today we come to the second episode in the series. If you'll remember, last time we saw Joseph's sort of very privileged, sheltered upbringing, even though it was kind of a chaotic family he was part of. And he's sort of a spoiled brat, really, at 17. He gets beaten up by his brothers and sold to some traveling salesmen on their way to Egypt. And today we read about his beginning adventures in Egypt, where he becomes a slave to the Pharaoh's chief guard. This is from Genesis 39, and I'm selecting verses. When Joseph was taken down to Egypt by the Ishmaelites, he was bought from them by an Egyptian, Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's court officials, the captain of the guard. And Joseph prospered, for the Lord was with him. He lived in the house of his Egyptian master, who saw that the Lord was with him and was giving him success in all that he undertook. Thus Joseph won his master's favor and became his attendant. Indeed, his master put him in charge of his household and entrusted him with everything he had. And here's the turn. Now, Joseph was handsome in both face and figure. And after a time, his master's wife became infatuated with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Jim Moore tells a story about a little boy coming home from school with his report card. And in his report card, he had a terrible grade in conduct. Do you remember those days? And he tried to explain to his mother by saying, but Mom, you know, conduct is my hardest subject. And that's true, isn't it? That's true. I can remember, it might have been fourth or fifth grade, I had to write 100 times, I will behave like a gentleman in the cafeteria. And I spelled cafeteria wrong all the way down. But it's hard sometimes to know what's right and wrong. And it's hard, too, when we know what's right and wrong, to do what is right. And the Jewish people believed that, you know, it was each generation's responsibility to pass down values to the next generation that was coming along. And they didn't believe that this came naturally to us. They believed that ethics had to be taught. This is something you learn. It's not there by nature. And the way the story of Joseph was used as an example of this. I came across an article about Stan Lee, you know, the comic book guy who does Spider-Man and that kind of thing, who passed away just recently. And he said that a story without a message is like a man or a woman without a soul. And I think the story of Joseph is one that has a message and it has soul as well. It was used in the royal schools in Jerusalem as part of the curriculum for Israel's future leaders. It was used as part of their training for the young people growing up. This is what they discussed. And it's interesting today just to look at and to see what those people thought was important in their leaders, in their future leaders, and how that might be relevant to us as well. One quality, very definitely, was integrity, as the Bible reading hints. Once again, you remember last week, Joseph is taken by his brothers. He's handed over to these traveling salesmen on their way to Egypt. There, he is bought again as a slave by Potiphar, who's the chief guard, the head of the guards for the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And here we take up his story. He does very well. He's very successful in Egypt. And I think one thing about him, though, is with all his success, his rise to power in his master's household, he becomes the chief person in charge of everything in Potiphar's household, is that he was a very good-looking guy. And in the Broadway play, you know, Joseph in his technicolor dream coat, there's a speech he gives. I look handsome. I look smart. I'm a walking work of art. And I was asking John, who works in the movies here, you know, who is the handsome one today? And the only ones I could think of were like Justin Timberlake, Brad Pitt. My wife thinks that George Clooney is really a hunk. And Joseph was just that. He was even more so, even more so. And there's a tale that the old Jewish rabbis loved to repeat. And this is a story about Joseph, that this Jewish Adonis walking through Pharaoh's courtyard. And all the women there are peeling oranges and eating oranges as this very handsome guy walks by. And of course, they just melt in their sandals looking at this guy. He's so handsome, just so handsome. So much so that as they're peeling, they don't realize they're not peeling oranges anymore. They're peeling the skin off their fingers. He's a handsome guy, a real hunk. But this is good, but it's also trouble, because his master's wife also takes an interest in him. And, you know, this Joseph is not a goody-two-shoes. He's a young man far from home in a foreign country. And here he is with a very powerful, attractive woman taking an interest in him. That must have done something for his ego. And, you know, this woman tries to seduce him. And how is he going to respond? History is full of examples of people getting into trouble here. You know, on the political scene, you can take people from either party. There are examples. There are people who just think, they rise to a position where they think that the rules that apply to everyone else don't apply to them. The rules that apply to everyone else don't apply to them. And I think it was Tiger. I'm not sure I'm remembering correctly here. But when Tiger was in trouble, what did he say? I did it because I could. I did it because I could. And here Joseph is in a situation nobody will know. Nobody will know. But he turns the woman down and he says, I can't do this. Your husband has placed everything in my hand. He has given me that trust. Only you he has held back because you are his wife. I can't go on with this. I can't do this sin against God. It's interesting. Here comes God is introduced into the picture here. And he runs away. And this is a very different young man than the one we met last week. We know that, hardship sometimes can destroy people. With Joseph, it made him a person of character, where no one will know, and yet he stands up for what is right. So this is something that Israel looked for in its future leaders, a personal integrity. Conduct is a problem. There's another quality about this man, and that's his faith, a second quality. And I'm not sure how it developed, we're never told, but he somehow, even with his chaotic background, even with his sheltered background, he comes to a very real faith in God. And this is something to look at. Look at his life so far. It's a roller coaster. Here's a young man, 17, back in Israel, back with his family. He's dreaming of the moon and the stars bowing down to him. Dreams of grandeur. That's all wiped away. He's a slave in a second. Life has changed completely. And once again, he's in Egypt. He rises to the top. Cream rises. He rises to the top in his master's household. He's falsely accused now by Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison. And thrown into prison that lasts 13 years, if you can imagine that, for something he didn't do. Everything wiped out. And there are times in life, and I think this is the case with Joseph, there are times when everything is wiped away, and the only thing he has, the only thing he can cling to, is his faith in God. Everything's wiped out. From a position of authority to prison. It's the only thing that keeps him going. And I think it's true with us. When we hit those stages in life when everything we know is taken from us. And all we have to hang on to is our faith in God. Frederick Buechner was a minister for a short time. He's a Christian author. We studied him last year in Bible study here. And he tells of something that happened to him. He was in a very dark period with his family. His daughter was anorexic, and it looked like she was going down and down and down, and there was no answer to it. He had lost all hope, and he was just devastated, both for her and for himself and the whole family. He's driving along, drives off the highway onto a side street, parks on the side, and just breaks down in tears. No hope left. And a car came whizzing by on this side road, And he happened to take a look at it, and it was a car with one of those custom-made license plates. And the license plate said T-R-U-S-T, trust. And Buechner said, you know, you could take that as a coincidence. You could take it as a joke. You could take it as a word from God. And he says, I took it as a word from God. Trust. Hang in there. And it's interesting. He wrote this experience up in an article, and the man in that car that whizzed by actually read the article, and on one occasion met him and gave him that license plate with the words trust on it. It turned out he was actually a trust officer in the local bank. But the Lord works in mysterious ways, you know? Let me make the same point again in a slightly different way. David Hume was an 18th century philosopher in Scotland. He actually lived in my mother's village. And he was a philosopher that did not believe in God. And of course, we know God forgives him for that. But he was a man who believed that you didn't need faith in God, that science and the light of nature was all you needed. And there was a minister by the name of F.W. Robinson, who, of course, believed that the light of nature was fine, but you also needed the light of God. The light of nature wasn't quite enough. And the two of them met for a sort of a friendly debate in the home of a mutual friend. And they had a discussion together, made their points. And it came to the end, and at that point, David Hume got up to go home. And F.W. Robinson, the minister, said, oh, let me help you. And he had a lantern to help him go out the house and everything. Let me help you. And David Hume said, no, the light of nature is enough. And David Hume opened the door, walked out into the dark, tripped over something, fell down the stairs, and landed face down on the road. And F.W. Robertson ran to his aid, holding that light, and holding that light above him, whispered in his ear, David, I think you need a little light from above. And we all do. We all do. Certainly that was Joseph's experience. And I think his experience is very real for us today in a different time. Again, the people of Israel used the story of David as part of the curriculum for its future leaders. Conduct. Good conduct. And also that faith in God. And I think, once again, that's a very relevant set of emphases for us as well. You agree?